On a sweaty summer morning in St. Augustine, a group of archaeologists gathered at one of the state's oldest and most iconic landmarks. The Castillo de San Marcos is a more than 330-year-old limestone fort perched on the edge of the water in a city first established by the Spanish in 1565. The Castillo offers commanding views of the Matanzas River and, beyond that, the Atlantic Ocean.
By the way, the area that you're in right now is what's called the Rablin. It is the defense for the one entry point into the Castillo. So this was our line of defense, our first line of defense for the main entry point into the Castillo. So we're going to head down the Castillo. We're going to walk through.
That's James Crutchfield, a National Park Service guide at the fort. He's also the last in a line of historic masons and one of the only people left in the city who knows how to cut the hunks of coquina stone that make up the fort's walls.
The coquina is a very great material for protecting the fort in an attack for cannonballs or muskets. Coquina is not a great material when it comes to fighting the everyday elements such as rain. And so what's happening is the water sheet...
Crutchfield, like the fort itself, is struggling to keep up with the changing tides. St. Augustine and coastal and low-lying areas across the state are already plagued by so-called nuisance flooding. Florida's notorious summer showers, combined with high tides, are enough to flood the streets in some cities. And in a town where it's difficult to dig a hole without hitting some 17th century artifact, there's a lot at stake. 100 archaeologists, architects, and urban planners gathered in St. Augustine to make a plan.
So when we look at a one-foot rise, we already are seeing pretty significant effects to our coastal regions. And then once we get to a six-foot sea level rise, you can see that most of our coastal cities are at least partially flooded, if not completely flooded. So when we're talking about archaeology in this area...
That's archaeologist Rachel Kangas. She monitors Native American mounds on Pine Island in southwest Florida. She's uncovered, among other things, a 1,000-year-old fishing net made out of palm fibers. But why bother with archaic tools and ancient trash piles? Shouldn't basic infrastructure, roads, and wastewater plants take precedence? Archaeologist and outgoing University of West Florida President Judy Bentz made this argument.
But no one else can tell the human story except us. And we know that, and it is something that is deeply important to who we are as not just humans, but as American citizens, and certainly as anthropologists and archaeologists. We're very special people. It doesn't mean we're better or we're worse than anybody else, but we have a very special view that we look back into the past and deduce what must have happened.
Bentz and her colleagues believe it's vital to understand past civilizations and their impact on the present. There's even evidence of previous residents of St. Augustine fortifying their city against the changing tides hundreds of years ago.
There could be multiple tidal events shown in the archaeological record, and you could see multiple floor levels that show that they were rebuilt right on site. So the materials that were used for construction, such as, say, coquina buildings,
statewide, the Florida Public Archaeology Network is monitoring more than 29,000 buildings and nearly 4,000 sites endangered by sea level rise. Some members, like Rachel Kangas, are already seeing sites disappear.
So when we talk about sea level rise at Pineland, right now it's fairly stable, and even with a 2-foot rise, we're still pretty stable as long as there's no storm activity. But once we get to a 6-foot rise, the entire site is inundated with water, again with the exception of those two nice tall mounds.
Many coastal communities are establishing living shorelines, beds of oysters and seagrass that act as a natural buffer. Some private homeowners in St. Augustine have taken to simply raising their houses, some by 10 feet or more. But back at the Castillo, that just isn't an option. And the city isn't keen on building a large, obtrusive seawall either. Their current wall can withstand a Category 1 hurricane, and they think that'll do for now. In the meantime, Crutchfield and his team are documenting everything, preserving what they can, and enjoying the view of the water. For WFSU News, I'm Kate Payne.